Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Shall I just start with our... Well, I think it's a great place to start because I was going to say, wow, it's wonderful to be together again, but the assignment says each moment is a place you've never been.
It's true, isn't it? Here we are together
exactly.
Again for the first time.
That's right. So the assignment was, we intuitively know the truth of this quote. Each moment is new. It has to be. It never was before. But it takes practice to be here for each moment because we're trained to have our attention on conditioned minds. Today, spend as many moments as possible in the awareness that this moment is a place you've never been. Adopt beginner's mind, the curiosity of a traveler arriving at a new destination. Practice having a fresh perception. Yet let yourself be in the moment without letting beliefs and assumptions color your experience.
I always, each time you read the fresh perception, I think it's going to say a fresh perspective. And then it always takes me to that different place when you say fresh perception. That's such a, for me, powerful difference, shift in perception.
Yes. Because that is so suggestive of the moment rather than a perspective, which is an orientation that can be held in a story.
Yeah. It's exciting, huh?
Very. So let's see who we've got. First caller,
all
you're
right.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Well, hello,
hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning to you folks there on the West Coast.
And good afternoon to you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a new world every moment. I love that. Just walking and it's just incredibly beautiful right now this time of year, so that really helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that. So a fresh perception, and really it is a matter of turning attention to what is, I imagine, always here, and just turning attention, and then watching ego grab it back or sneak it back or whatever it does, and then, remembering once again, oh, yeah, right here.
Yes.
Right here. Right here, moment by moment.
Yeah,
so,
because for most people, the suffering that we are in has to do with what is not happening now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's kind of what you're indicating. So here I am. I'm right here. It's spring. It's gorgeous. And then conditioned mind goes right back to my problem. What's wrong with me? What's not working, right? And that's not happening now. But that process of repeating it and repeating it. So I'm very involved in an email class right now. And so much of what people talk about is history. The reason that I'm this way now, or the reason this is happening now, is that this happened to me, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And that's the way we are brainwashed into experiencing life. And it keeps us in that place that you're pointing at. That none of that's going on. None of that. Probably most of that hasn't been going on for decades.
Wow.
But I can drag it. I can drag it into today and make it real for myself today because I'm listening to those stories over and over and over.
Wow. That is amazing. What I'm really looking at in that is something that was talked about on the radio show maybe just over a month ago about that idea of, you know, the story about who I am, who I am, who I am, you know, just over and over. This is who I am. This is who I'm not. You know, this is who you are. This is who you're not. This is how life is. This is how life's not. And, you know, that kind of rigid way of thinking about, and it really is thinking about over and over again, you know, especially who I am. And to, you know, in that, in the perception, you know, right now, so I'm just, after saying that, I'm turning my attention back to the dogwoods and the clouds and the wind and the sky and the trees. And it's, you know, there's no story about me, a me in quotes there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in that, I mean, we're trained for this to sound crazy, but if we really did drop the story, we could be having any life we choose. That really is possible for us. The only limitation is the story we're listening to inside our own heads.
No, it is so amazing because it really, it's like, I you know, I've been practicing Zen for 20-some years, but there's still this really, really strong idea, even though it has changed over the years, there's this really strong idea of who I am. And every once in a while, it occurs to me to question that. You know, but there's been, and more, it occurs to me more now, and especially really lately. But most of the time, I'm just going around as if this is true. This is the way things are. And, you know, unquestioned.
Yes. Yeah, it's so deep. That's why brainwashing really is a good way to talk about it. Because it's not just what I think. You know, that could have some flexibility to it. You know, what I think is only allowed to happen within a program. So this conversation, I can actually recall when I encountered the painter, Paul Gauguin. I guess that's how you pronounce his name, or that's how I do it anyway. And and I was just stunned by that you don't like the life you're living and you just leave and you go to another part of the world and you become somebody different who does something else. I thought, yes, that is a good thing to consider, right? And then, of course, years later, I found out Jesus didn't go that far, but he did that. The Buddha did that. You know, that it's not an unheard of orientation or possibility even for highly respected individuals.
Wow.
Right? So it's not just the guy who ditches his wife and kids. I don't know if he actually had a wife and kids, but, you know, and goes off to the South Sea Islands, which could, you know, conditioning would say, well, how irresponsible is that?
Right.
But some rather impressive individuals came to the same realization that, doing it this way is not it. I need to take a different path.
Wow. Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. You know, for me right now, I don't have something else that says that it's drawing me, you know, but I can come back to the not knowing, you know, being here and really not being anyone, kind of, no mind. I mean, I know we call it whole mind, but it's more awareness. It's not than thought. That I can come back to in the kind of being nobody and then, you know, just allowing life to do.
Well, and it opens up the same possibility, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not being Jeff in Jeff's life, being who Jeff is, then you have entered a whole new world.
Mm. Wow. That is amazing. Yeah, possibility.
All right.
Who knows?
Yep, yeah, who knows? All right.
Thank you, Jerry.
Jeff.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. It is a radical way of looking at no self, right, Jerry? Because if the self, mm-hmm. it's the self that I'm trapped in is the self that causes me the most suffering. And so if that's an illusion, then can I pick another set of circumstances? And it doesn't have to be external, just an internal set of parameters that allows me not to experience the same suffering.
Yes. Yeah. It's that if it really distresses you to spend your day focused on whatever, well, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And conditioned mind starts screaming, that's crazy, that's irresponsible. You can't just not, yes, you can. Yes, you actually can. And there's nothing to stop you. And it is not immoral.
That's right.
So all of that stuff is made up.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. This is Joan in Berkeley.
Good morning, Joan. Yeah.
Good rainy morning.
Good rainy morning.
I love this this quote, and I actually I've been listening to Open Air religiously for the last, even though I haven't been doing other Zen awareness practices, I've been listening to the show religiously for the last couple years. And you said something like this, Sherry, a couple months ago, and it was like this floodlight went on in my being. For some reason, this particular idea of each moment being brand new, each place, you know, is a each moment is a place you've never been, just had a real impact on me. And I'm having all sorts of sensations right now.
Well, it's so radical, isn't it? And has such astounding implications. So
yeah.
when you were just talking, I was what dropped in was the Ram Dass story when he was doing hospice work, and the woman that he was working with was dying. He was doing hospice work, and she was profoundly depressed. And he said, "Well, you know, maybe the difficulty is that in every hour, you're spending the whole hour dying. How about if you spend 50 minutes out of every hour living and 10 minutes out of every hour dying?"
Mm-hmm. So I realized
that
every time I walk out the door, I was anticipating some kind of disaster happening, which, you know, never happened. And I'm not sure exactly where it came from, you know, maybe from my family or something. But, I mean, it was just a profound realization that nothing bad is going to happen.
I don't have to do that.
I don't have to do that. And even, you know, coming on this call was a similar thing. It's going to be a disaster. And no,
actually, it's not. And even that, Joan, even that, right? So it's going to be a disaster, and that's never defined, is it? It's never. So we're just left with all of the possibilities of disaster that could possibly happen. Well, I don't want to face that. I'm going to stay in the house. I'm not going to pick up the phone, right? But
right.
So okay, that's that. And then what game that we like to play? It's going to be a disaster. What kind of disaster? Well, I don't know.
Right.
Okay. Well, there's a disaster. And then what? Do you mean I'm going to die? Are other people going to die? Is this what are we talking about here? And we realize, well, actually, we're not talking about anything here. This is just this statement that goes through. The nervous system goes crazy, and I am controlled.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was amazing.
So here we are. Here we are in this brand new moment. Yeah. And there may be what ego terms a disaster, but I'm going to call it a learning experience.
Yes. Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, June. That's it, right, Cherry? That's why each moment is new.
Yes.
The disaster hasn't happened yet.
Right. Yes. Well, and if we look back at our lives, it's really true that extraordinary things have happened. Extraordinary things have happened to us. But were they disasters? Well, we're still here. We're still looking at it. We're still talking about it. We're still learning and growing and changing and seeing and realizing.
Yeah. I was looking at ordinariness, the quality of ordinariness.
Uh-huh.
And that because we're not present to every moment, all of the ordinary, fabulous moments get strung into a narrative of sameness that just gets ignored.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, it's whitewash. And then the drama can be played out on a blank screen.
Uh-huh. So Jeff started this out with the, you know, you're walking around and there are the trees and the sky and the clouds and the breeze and the all, and that, if we're not present for it, as you say, it just becomes a blank screen against which this imaginary ego drama is played out. So we're reversing it, aren't we?
Yes. Well, and the thing is that if I'm present to every extraordinary moment, then what I realize is the sameness of the story of suffering that I actually live in.
Yeah. What's ordinary is that ego narrative.
Yes. Yeah. And same.
Yeah. Wow, it's just backwards, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Takes a lot of practice to switch the context.
Yes. Oh, great phrasing. That is exactly what's happening, isn't it? We're switching the context. Yeah. What is in the foreground and what is in the background? Until what's in the background, ego's hysteria, eventually just fades out of existence. Because there's nothing maintaining it.
Yeah, it was what Dana was talking about yesterday on that, you know, the pool of tranquility. The bubbles, if we give it attention, tend to start to get to the foreground.
Yeah. So what we give attention to grows.
Yes.
What we ignore fades away. And what we have been trained to give attention to is ego hysteria. And what we ignore and fades away is that which is, and we're switching that. We're going to attend to that which truly is in this moment, brand new, just unfolding, and we're going to ignore and let fade into the background ego's nonsense.
Yes. All right. Here's our next
color. I like
color.
It.
I
all
like
right.
Context switching with attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, here we go. Our next caller is now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hey, Hi, Christine.
Hi. So something, well, while the last two callers and you were talking, something came up, which is this, it seems this larger perspective up. So I was looking at identity also, and this larger, like I was able to step back and see that it seems that this being, me, has been doing that exploration of who I am by switching things up and trying a new, different jobs, a whole new work. I guess I'm exploring it with work. Well, also where I live, switching that up too. So
those are big switches.
Yeah.
Right? Where you live and where you work, that those are big items and big ticket items in most people's lives. Yeah.
Well, the whole career thing changed. I just left one thing and I turned to, I guess maybe that's what I was doing, or what I am doing, exploring who am I, and now I'm going to be a, you know, a fireman or whatever, and now I'm going to be a, you know, like totally opposite, different things.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems that's what I've been doing, and yeah.
So seeing through a new lens, right? Because if there's this egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, brainwashing program titled Christine,
mm-hmm.
right? And now you, in quotes, I have to put that you in quotes, right? Because we don't know what we're talking about here. But there's an intelligence, a presence, an authenticity, curiosity, whatever that is, says, well, now, what about that? What about that? Well, what if she this? And what if she moved there? And what if she did? What happens to that brainwashing program? And, of course, what happens is you get to see a bunch of stuff that you would have never seen if you'd stayed in the same place doing the same thing, which is why people are so deeply programmed to stay in the same place and do the same thing. That's the sensible, responsible, intelligent, grown-up thing to do. Get in a groove and stay there until you die.
Well, I know, yes. And so, so it seems that this being didn't want to do that, but I think it's probably okay if people want to do that, I guess.
Well, everything is okay.
But I don't want to do that, but some people might.
That's right. Well, yes, of course, absolutely. And we can't worry about that.
No, yeah.
Right? We can't worry about what anybody is doing, and because it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what we're doing, right?
Yeah,
and not in an egocentric way, but if there is, not everybody wants to wake up and end suffering. Most people wouldn't even track that sentence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know, most or whatever, but yeah. And so, and also I was reminded that, I was reminded of this thing I do sometimes, or just pops in or happens to me or something, and that is that it's fun sometimes to look at different people and see them as, see their, well, not potential, but see that they could be anybody. I could see the person, like the person, I don't know, the mail truck goes by, so that's a male person. But actually, they look kind of like the doctor that I saw, you know, whatever, last week or something. So anybody could, I guess it gives me the freedom to remember that anybody can be anything. I mean, you know, there's just that unlimited potential feels good to remember, I guess.
Well, yes, and it's not just about doing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not just about what you do.
Right. Well, it's because that's going to pass. it's it's going to different workshops to reveal the different possibilities that are there, to see the things that we're not seeing. That's why we're so programmed not to do new and different things. I read something somewhere where this very small percentage of people ever do anything new after the age of 18.
Oh.
Don't take up a new hobby, a new sport, a new activity. Don't just do the same things from the age 18 until death. Now, that's terrifying, right?
Mm.
And yet, when we look at our own lives and we look at the lives of people around us, we can get a sense that that probably is true, okay? And when new things are suggested to people, the response from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is, no, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't enjoy that. I'm not that kind of person. So we see the resistance of ego to anything that's going to result in new insights.
Yeah. So
ego likes to be a fixed pattern.
Yeah.
Makes it easier for identity to stay in place. This is who I am. This is how I am. Yeah?
Yeah.
So with what we're doing here and changing that context and seeing through a different lens and having a different perception, okay, we want to be shaking things up. This is why I like for people to come to the monastery. There are a few things that will shake up a life more profoundly than even the briefest period of time at the monastery, right? Identities don't like it, because what happens is the identity is put under a magnifying glass, not the identity scrutinizing everyone and everything else to reinforce itself, but suddenly the identity is being scrutinized. Very unpopular with the identity.
Yeah. It is uncomfortable, and it's conditioning's all over everything. Just you should
exactly
do this,
so.
You shouldn't do that, and this is why, and maybe this.
That's right. Yeah. And here's what you're looking at right now is the whole deal. Okay, it's the whole deal for all of us practicing awareness. So something happens, there it is, it pops up in front of you, and you hear in your head, God, what is, I don't, that's not, oh, okay, whatever the resistance is, in awareness practice, we're meant to be looking at that. So we do what we do to reveal that process that happens in conditioned mind, not to identify with it, look at whatever that is, in quotes, out there, and have a judgment about it. I like that. I don't like that. That fits with who I am. It doesn't. That's the shift. That's the change in perception. That's the shifting context. We do what we do in order to reveal that system so that we can watch it do what it does and see how it controls us, rather than identifying with it to have it create our view of ourselves and life.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep. The step back perspective.
Yes.
And, oh, it did that. Okay. That doesn't mean I need to blah, blah, blah.
That's right. Yes. So I'm watching what goes on inside my head like I'm watching a movie. I'm not in it. It's not me. Okay? I'm watching it. I am the awareness that is watching that happen.
Yes, and it's saying things that easily drag me in very easily for everyone I know.
Yes, can.
And I don't have to be drug in.
That's right. That's the important thing to realize. Yes, it's a very compelling film, and I do tend to get drawn into it. My job is to watch it and not get drawn in. When I'm clear about that, my relationship with it really changes. Mm-hmm. I no longer think it's who I am. Right? It's a movie, and it's not actually about me. It's a movie about itself.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay,
thank you, Christine.
That sounds like a huge amount to practice. I'll carry on.
It'll be a big day.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. So it's our job is not to identify with it. Our job is to watch the movie. And, you know, Sherry, when you were talking, the image that came up for me was this blank white wall, right? And there's a stick figure of a person drawn on it. And that's what we're limited to, right? That's who I am. And anything that encounters the stick figure from the white wall and hits the black sketch of me is no, because it's not allowed into who I am. It doesn't fit the stencil. And so in practice, every time that encounter happens, it's an interface encounter. And it's a chance to remove something black and to fade into white, right? Because it's not that ego wants to maintain itself, and its identity maintenance program is to keep out everything that doesn't fit its outline.
That stick figure.
That stick figure. And so in practice, once we get that we're switching context to the white wall, then anything that feels like resistance or no is our chance to let it go, because it's the boundaries of the stick figure are being erased.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And with that image, it seemed like, well, my little stick figure is going to be erased, and then that's it, no more me. What we're doing, of course, is shifting to a realization that what we are is everything that is contained in that blank wall, that white wall, which is everything.
Yeah, all of me, not just this me.
Yeah. Me and in me, the giant universal me, the me that is we, the me that is all.
Yes.
Yeah. Which for another conversation we can continue. Because the point is very worth exploring, that me, that is we, that is all, is actually how we experience ourselves. We're just not aware of it.
Yes.
So we'll have that talk another time.
Yes. And here's our assignment for today, for Friday, and so we will be back together on Monday. I want to sing like birds sing, not worrying about who hears or what they think. We were talked into being self-conscious early in our lives, to express the joy of life without fear of criticism, assessment, and judgment is a gift we can offer ourselves now. Today, put your whole heart into what you do if no one were watching. Can you bring the feeling of singing freely into every aspect of your day? Make recordings throughout the day, perhaps singing some of them. What a fun assignment.
Mm-hmm. Perfect springtime assignment.
Yes, well, I'm going to tunelessly do that.
All right.
All right, everyone.
All right.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank
we'll
you,
see Trini. You on Monday. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.